KJ4KLX Mobile, you copy? KJ4KLX Mobile, clear listening.
W and 4HHC.
W4DJW. Hey, Warren.
Hey, Dave. Is this a good time to ask you a question?
It is. I'm thinking I'm done for the day at work, but I can never be 100% sure, but I'm thinking it's a Friday. I'm thinking people are going up. Well, they're already home. Anyway.
That's a good one. I want that website I heard you talking about, where you have the Linux operating system running some processes and it's cranking out things. I wanted that website.
So the Bionic for the Rosetta at home, you got some spare CPU cycles you're ready to contribute toward the cause to crush COVID-19?
Yeah, I've got some devices that came across today up on the shelf, and they're small boxes, but anyway, I think they'll run okay. So we'll kind of see what happens.
Okay, well, I'll send you the email that the buddy of mine that sent it to me, I used his email to get up and running, and I've sent that to Josh and Jason and John and other people to get them. Alex is on board now, too, over in Clemson. I'll send you that email. You can go through it, and he explains how to do it. There's basically three entities. There's the manager that's called a BOINC, Boink manager, and that manages multiple projects. Rosetta at Home is one of them. So if you start with downloading that, then it's going to ask you for, okay, what project do you want to run? And Rosetta at Home is one of the ones in the, well, you go under biology, and then Rosetta is in there, and you can select it and move forward. If that list comes up empty, then you can paste in the project URL and go that way. And then once you get in, it'll ask you, do you want to join a team? And our team is team-sci-fi, S-C-I-F-I. And we've had quite a few members join lately. I think we doubled the size of the team with just ham radio operators. But anyway, look for that email. I'll send it to you if you're good on QRZ, and that'll get you going.
S-C-I-F-I-Sci-Fi?
That's correct. And it'll be in that email that I send you to, all three of those. The link to the manager program, Boink, and the link to the project URL, and the name of the team that you select once you get onto the project site, the website. It'll be in there, too. Once you get on there, it'll ask you if you want to join a team while you're setting up the manager to control the project. Say that thing is, every project's a little bit different, and they're hard to figure out. So they created this wrapper called Boink, B-O-I-N-C, and it takes care of all the details for you. You just download it, install it. It's got a list of projects you can select from, and as you're going through your setup for that project, you got to create an account for that project and a password so that you get credit for the work that you're doing instead of somebody else getting credit for it. And once you get into that and you're going through that setup, one of the things it'll ask you toward the end is if you want to join a team. And, yes, you have the name of the team correct, and it will be in the email. And then you'll get to see everybody else that's doing it that's in this area, plus the team from, I found a picture from 2003 of a crack rack. That's a rack of motherboards stacked up side by side, just crunching numbers. And this is a team that is that old.
Must be quite the team. So very good. I think I am on QRZ, but let me just check real quick, okay? Hold on.
Okay, I looked, but I don't see your email address in there. Normally it'll say hover your mouse over this thing for your email address to show up, and I'm hovering my mouse and I'm not seeing anything. W4DJW, stand by.
But I should get that on there. But I'll go ahead and give it to you over the radio if you want to write it down.
Okay, let me bring up something to write it on, and I'll be right with you. It's not coming up quick. Just give me just... No, there you go. Okay, I'm holding you so you can't start giving it to me until I get a notepad up. My machine is crunching numbers, so it's really slow to respond because all my CPUs are going against fighting COVID-19. Okay, I'm ready to copy.
First name, Warren.Lennon, L-E-N-N-O-N, at, there's five letters, India, Baker, Sierra, Romeo, Victor.com.
Okay, your first name, dot your last name, at IBSRV.com.
Yeah, the last one is Victor.com.
Okay. India, Bravo, Sierra, Roger, Victor.com. Okay, I'll send you that email here in just a second.
We'll have to investigate it. Does it have an option in there to load Linux? Because I'm going to take these three boxes and put Linux on it. You want to send any suggestions along with that too?
Yeah, it won't load an operating system for you, but Linux is the most robust, the least troublesome. It's the best operating system that you can select. It'll work under Windows, but sometimes Windows security stuff gets in the way of it and causes failures depending on how old the box is and how much you've got loaded and whose antivirus and all that stuff you've got loaded. I had trouble with my older Windows boxes, so I had to convert them over to Linux. And you've got a couple of different options there. You can, like, for example, one of the things I did, you can load a VM. VMware will let you download a player, a VM player, for free, one per box. And you can download the ISO image of Linux, that whatever flavor you're most comfortable with, and you can play that ISO image in a virtual machine if your box has enough power to run a virtual machine and another operating system in the host operating system. If not, you can load it on, like, this little USB mSATA drive. I got several of them off of Amazon for about $30 a piece. I just keep several of them around just in case I wanted to convert a Windows box to Unix real quick. I just plug them in, go into the BIOS, and say boot from the USB first, and it'll boot from that, and you can download a live image on that thing, and it'll run on that. I've got a couple of them running that way. And then a third option is you just download a ISO image and burn it to a CD-ROM for Linux, whatever flavor you're most comfortable with, and load that when it boots up and, you know, read from the CD-ROM first and just install Unix that way, whatever flavor you like the best.
Hey, I'm going to choose the last one there. Just go ahead and give me the one you recommend, over.
Okay. I use Debian. I like it the best. It's most like what I learned back in the 1980s and 1990s. Plus, it's got some of the newer stuff in there, too, and it's got some nice GUI windows that can help you instead of if you don't know all the command lines. So I'll just send you the link to the ISO image that I use. There's two of them. I use one that makes it look like it's a Raspberry Pi, but it's an Intel. Those are Intel chips, aren't they? Or are they ARM processors or Intel or AMD or what?
I think they're Intel, or at least Intel compatible. I know they're not AMD.
Okay, and they're not ARM either. Like, those netbooks used to be ARM processors. Not like that, right?
That's a good question. I don't think so, but I guess we could see.
Yeah, I'll send you the one for Intel, and if it doesn't load, it might tell you, now, this is an ARM, or this is an AMD, or this is whatever it is. And then you can go out and get the equivalent most of the time, most of those Linux brands will allow you to run it on different chip architectures. But I'll send you the one that I use. You can also get one from Raspberry Pi for Intel. I'm doing that on one of my i7 boxes. I'm running a virtual Raspberry Pi with six CPUs. It's a 8-core processor, and I'm giving six of them to that Raspberry Pi. So there are no Raspberry Pis out there that have more than four CPUs, but that virtual machine's got six. So that's something to think about, too. I'll give you the site where you can go download the Intel version of that, and if you try to load it and it says, no, this is an ARM processor, then you can get the ARM version of that, which is what Raspberry Pi runs on.
Posted.
Okay, in addition to that, I'll pull you into an email thread that is how this group got restarted, because this group had like 80 or 90 people in it at one time, and it dwindled all the way down to a couple of people, and they built it up to about 8 people, and then ham radio operators in this area have bumped it up to about 16 people, so it's starting to grow. I'll pull you into that email thread, and I'll also give you a link to, they just started a forum, a board, a Team Sci-Fi board that's separate from the project Rosetta at Home, that we can just all talk among ourselves over there, which that's typical. Every team usually has their own forum like that, that they can go talk amongst themselves and not be on the project boards when they're talking.
Yeah, I look forward to it.
All right, Warren, looking forward to seeing you in the stats. I'll go put that email together, W4DJW. KN4VWA, W4DJW. Still out there, Steve?
No, KN4VWA, W4DJW. What's up, big guy?
It's a weekend. I think I'll go to the living room. What are you doing?
I have got a Comet 25-foot vertical without radials that I'm going to take down, which will make my wife very happy. You remember that vertical antenna? And I just put her a swing with a Polly's Island chair right on the end of it. So I'm scoring all kind of brownie points so that I can get that other tower up, and she won't have any leg to stand on. But I've been doing so good, baby.
Other tower? You going up with another tower?
60 feet.
In the near proximity to the one that you just put up?
50 or 75 feet on down the property line, so when it comes down, it'll come down towards the house.
And what's going to be on this one?
I've got a good dipole up there for everything from 80 down to whatever, and it works great short range and pretty good long range, so I'm happy there. But I'm thinking I'm going to put in some kind of beam.
Like for 160 or for like 30, 40, 20, 15, those bands?
As much as I'd like to, I really haven't seen much more than monoband up at 80 for a beam. And I have seen one or two that look very interesting for 40, 20, and 10, but much more than that. So I'm thinking 40, 20, and 10. Those bands have been really, really jumping here lately. Matter of fact, I talked to a guy in Italy. I start to say Italy. But yeah, I talked to a guy in Italy here just a little while ago, and he was just like he was sitting in a chair next to me.
I think those bands have probably been jumping more than we know. We're blaming it all on sunspots, and it's just that nobody's out there squeezing the trigger and you know, sending out some electromagnetic waves to see who else is listening.
Well, I've been on the N3FJP a good bit, and I'm seeing Tunisia, Syria. I'm seeing Sardinia, you know, over in those areas. But maybe it's just the time of the day, or I'm not hitting the gray line just right. I'm not hearing them.
Well, I run that propagation reporting software all the time and transmit beacons and listen to other people transmitting beacons, and it really hasn't changed that much for the period of time that I've been doing it, which is years, like going on 10 years. I think the propagation is there, I think, except for like 6 meters and 10 meters. That does fluctuate a lot. But I think on 20 and 40 and 80 and 30, it's pretty consistent. It's just there's not a lot of people on there all the time.
Naturally, I only have experience from this past July, and I really only have really hot experience with a good radio and antenna. Really, just a good antenna recently from about February, but 40, 20, 10, and even 15 and 10 has been doing very well for me lately. And I just keep looking at it and saying, golly, I wonder what it's going to be like when the sunspots do come back. Great day.
Well, that, and if you learn CW, you can almost find somebody at the bottom end of the band on CW anytime you want, right? I mean, if you've got a good wire antenna, a decent wire antenna, you can find somebody. Between those bands, like from 40 to 15, you can find somebody, and they're out there, and they're willing to talk to you. you just gotta hunt and find them.
Well, I've been hitting New Zealand, Australia. Matter of fact, I was able to hit the South Orkney expedition, Falkland Islands, Moldavia, all across through there. It's no problem, and I'm talking about on voice. And if I go over to FT8, man, I'm worldwide. It's no problem.
Have you been able to get to like Sri Lanka? And there's one other that's even further east of Sri Lanka, that is the center of the Earth. If you go draw a line from where we are through the core of the Earth and you come out the other side, that's where they are. That's the farthest distance you can get and still be on planet Earth. Have you been able to get that far around?
No, I think that's actually a matter of timing, because I haven't put in the time and effort to try to get into my shack at the right time with the gray line to really get out there to it. Mid-morning and early afternoons when I've been hitting it, and, you know, I know that's not the best times. But, hey, as soon as I get a few other things done, I'm going to get out there and sneak out in the middle of the night, 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, see what I can do.
Yeah, pull a night shift. You can get all kinds of stuff. You pull a whole night shift. You know, sleep sometime. Go to sleep during the day and then stay up all night. You know, you'd be surprised what you can get.
Yep. Well, as soon as I get that second tower up, that's when I'm probably going to get real serious about the timing and, seeing what I can hit. So, well, listen, supper's ready. Mama's in there, and I got my granddaughter this weekend, and we have been having ourselves a grand time. Oh, she'll be 4 in September. Buddy, let me tell you what. Oh, she don't need 220 voltage hooked to her. She's a live wire without it. So, anyhow, it's good to talk to you, Dave. And I'm going in to eat. Love you like a brother, but not that much. 73s, W4DHW, KN4BW8.
All right, Steve. Good talking to you. Enjoy your supper, and take a trip to another room in the house. That's what I'm going to do this weekend. KN4VWA, W4DJW, clear.
JW Kilo, gone 4, Mike Uniform Kilo.
Well, hey, Wayne. How you holding up?
Okay, I guess you've seen enough pictures and news broadcast about all this stuff.
Yeah, I try to stay away from that. But you can't stay away from it too much. You're going to hear about it regardless.
Yeah. It's still, I think they still haven't got power on everything uptown, and I drove through two streets up there just to kind of take a peep at it, because one street was open and I skipped, hopped over, went up a little ways and took one look at it. I had to turn around. As a kid running up and down those streets, you grow up looking at all that, and then you go in there and it's all gone. It's like I couldn't handle the pain of seeing trees that I remember swinging from, just houses that were probably 100 years old when I was a kid, and just destroyed, or halfway destroyed, or just beat up so bad that, it was terrible. It hit hard right there in that old town area.
W4DJW, is that near Seneca? Yeah, I heard they got hit really hard. Really hard. I saw some pictures. Some people took some pictures on Facebook, and it did not look good.
I think I got about 20, 25 pictures, and none of it's good. It looks like one place you go, 15, 20 houses, the roofs are blown clean off. And you go over here, two or three houses are fine, and then there's 60 acres of 30, 40-year-old pine trees, and every single one of them laid over one way.
Yeah, I remember when that happened. My ex-father-in-law has 80 acres up in Traveler's Rest, and I remember one time, back during that time, I used to burn wood for heat, and he had a standing of trees like that. I don't know, it was probably about 15, 20 acres of it, and it came through there, and it just looked like matchsticks broken off. They were just laying all over each other on one side up in Traveler's Rest. It hit hard. I know exactly what you're talking about. I went and cut wood out of that for the next 2 or 3 years and kept the house warm, just cutting up logs, and he appreciated it because it was getting them out of there.
Well, you got that old lady B figured out yet?
No, I got off on a tangent. I go from one tangent to the next tangent. I'm crunching numbers for COVID, or against COVID now. I came real close to getting that down from there when everybody was talking about taking them over to this guy up in North Carolina, just the other side of the state line, taking it up there to him, but I never acted on it.
Well, I did, and somebody else did, completely rebuild my SB, and I think I was 620 watts. And, it, you know, I was told it, you know, well, the caps are not that great in it, you know, that's the next thing you need to replace, and but you might be okay for a little while, and, you know, I've been running it for a while. Well, the caps went out the other night. Now I'm right back to no amplifier.
Is that a SB200 or something else? I hear that's a really, really good one. But were they bad to begin with, the caps?
No, they're original material from 1977.
Okay, so that was to be expected then, huh? Or you didn't really want to expect it, but it happened anyway.
Yeah, all the internal components in the backside, the network, the tube network, the daggum, the whole back end is all brand new. Everything. Everything that goes around and, you know, the tube circuitry and all that, all new. The only thing I hadn't replaced in that thing is the six-pack of caps. But it looks like it's going to be a Harbach order of $120-$130. Probably a couple hours putting it together and putting it in there. Then I can order me some of those $200 tubes. That's two of those. That'd be $400. And then it'd probably put out about $750-$800.
Yeah, that's the conundrum that you get into when you're rebuilding something that old. It could happen. But at least you can get parts for it, though, right?
The thing except for that big old choke that's on the back end. Well, no, not the big one, the smaller one. You had to find a substitute for it. But other than that, I think all of that and maybe one or two other parts, you got to substitute something else. But that company, Harbach, makes everything for it. I was going to ask you, by the way, how am I getting into the repeater with this radio I'm talking on? KG4MK.
Rock solid. You sound as good as anybody else you'll hear on this repeater.
I got an MFJ switch over on a copper plate where I got all my antenna switches at. And I stuck a daggum diamond 2-meter 440 antenna right on top of the antenna switch. Got this radio hooked up direct. And that's it.
Well, that's a good way to that's a good way to do it. You don't have any coax loss, huh?
Nope. There's a 6-foot jumper here of 213 going from a radio to that switch, and that is it.
What else does that switch go to when you switch it?
Montana, that is it. It goes straight from this radio straight to that switch, and if a switch is off, it goes to the copper plate to a ground rod outside, but if I flip it to the antenna, it's like pointing right at the antenna. The antenna's like right there in the house and the where the coax would go to go outside to go to your antenna.
Well, how much power are you running on it?
50 watts.
Well, you probably don't need all that. How close is it to you?
4.5 feet behind me. And I'm glad you said that because I hadn't even thought about that. No wonder I got a headache.
That was going to be my next question. Does your head hurt?
So, hopefully you can still hear me. I turned it down to 15 watts. Gina's in there calling me. Can you still hear me at 15 watts?
Didn't make any difference as far as I can tell. Sounds just like it did at 50. Yeah, that's much better. That's easy on the brain, easier on the brain cells.
Yeah, I don't want to look like a daggum drug dealing pothead or daggum after about an hour talking on the radio. I was wondering why my daggum eyes and ears and nose were starting to cauterize. I guess that was what it was. No, I'm just kidding. I wasn't doing nothing like it. But anyway, let me get in there and see what she wants. Hey, Lordy, KG4MK.
Okay, Wayne, good talking to you. You guys take care. Be safe. KG4MK, W4DJ, W Clear. Heard Kilo Oscar 4, but I didn't get the rest of it. There is some white noise in there, and your audio sounds a little bit low.
Kilo Oscar 4, Alpha Whiskey Echo.
Alpha Whiskey Echo. Okay, got it that time. You're readable, but you're probably just a few feet above the white noise.
The Greenville, South Carolina repeater, over.
That's affirmative. It's the repeater itself is located on Caesar's Head Mountain, right there where 276 crosses over the North Carolina-South Carolina line. Well, you're doing really good. Are you uptown Charlotte? You have some elevation? That's the only way I could ever get into this repeater from Charlotte.
Negative on the Valentine area.
Say again, I didn't catch it.
South of Charlotte in Valentine.
Okay, I was never able to make it from Valentine. You're doing really good. You got a beam or something?
Negative, sir. Diamond HDM 510.
Okay, well, you're on your X, because you're doing really good from Valentine to Caesar's Head. Really good.
Well, I appreciate that, sir. I just wanted to do a real quick radio check. Thank you very much, 732. Appreciate you picking up the mic and answering. And you have a great night. Stay safe. Enjoy your weekend. This is Kilo Oscar 4 Alpha Whiskey Echo. It's Robert. It's in South Charlotte, and I'll be clear on your final.
Okay, Robert, we'll stop by any time. You're welcome. And we are here every night at 9 o'clock if you'd like to check into NETS. We've got a night every night at NET every night at 9. Look forward to seeing you check in sometime. Anyway, you sound good from Valentine, Charlotte, on into Caesar's Head. W4DJ, W Clear.